Grace, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm just old enough, probably from the middle of nowhere enough, to remember blue laws. Absolutely nothing in the way of commerce was open on Sunday when I was roughly 6 or 7 years old. We used to drive through the downtown business district, another thing that is largely gone, on the way to church on Sunday morning. And all of the parking spaces on each side were empty, and all of the lights were off. And in Iowa, they removed those laws in steps. The first step was allowing a grocery store to open at noon, should they want to do so. And they did. And so the first Sunday in July, because that was when the new laws went into effect in Iowa at the time, everything was the same as it had been going to church, but coming home, the Eagle grocery store lot was as full as any other day. It didn't take long, if my 7-year-old memory is right, about a year to go from noon and grocery stores only to full-scale repeal of all those blue laws. Such that I remember the Miller Lite open sign being on in the window of the bar at the edge of town, and the parking lot spaces in front of it full. Now, 6-year-old Mark was always a little precocious. I remember this because I remember asking Dad a question. We'd been memorizing the Ten Commandments and the Catechism in Sunday school, including remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I remember asking Dad, isn't this change exactly the opposite of that? And I remember, at least in broad strokes, his answer. Because he answered roughly from our gospel today. Dad's answer was also tied in specifically to being Lutheran. More on that in a second. And also into a statement upon the changing of society. The specific Lutheran part was tied into that confirmation that catechism I was memorizing. Luther's explanation to the third commandment is just different from what a Roman Catholic or a Reformed Calvinist would tell you. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God such that we do not despise preaching in His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Not a single word, at least not directly, about a day of rest. The rather strident explanation of Moses or God, depending upon how you read our Old Testament lesson, on it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who lives in your gates. None of them, that they might rest as well. In Luther's explanation, all that is seemingly absent. So part of Dad's answer was that, yes, the Catholics and some Protestants are lamenting the repeal, but Lutherans should be just fine with it because we are not legalists. And even 7-year-old Mark knew that Dad trotting out the L word, legalist, was something at the core of being Lutheran. The Sabbath was not about working. It was about hearing the Word of God. But when that snot-nosed seven-year-old asked how Bagger Jim, a good Lutheran who worked at the Eagle grocery store, would be able to do that now since he had to report to work at 10 a.m. on Sunday, Dad didn't really have an answer. He kind of stumbled into a backup. The world was changing. And who were Christians, given that Jews worshipped on Saturday and Muslims on Friday and all kinds of others? Who were we to force everyone to take Sunday off? Even that, though, didn't seem like an answer for Bagger Jim. But that snot-nosed kid was also memorizing the fourth commandment at the time and realizing that I was pushing Dad with my question. The question about what is a Sabbath. How does one keep a Sabbath? It's a very Lutheran question in how does one rightly divide the law and the gospel regarding Sabbath day? And these might seem like meaningless or esoteric questions today. Nobody is remotely close to reviving Blue Laws. But honestly, I think they're closer to the heart of the spiritual sickness that seems to be over our land. The heart of the conflict in our readings today is that right division of law and gospel. We all know the maxim that the work expands to fill the time you have allotted for it. At one extreme, you have someone like Anessa to whom we allocate 10 hours a week. And those are probably the most productive 10 hours I've ever seen. At the other extreme, you have the Japanese salaryman or a higher-level American corporate officer who's never not on the clock. Although what is being produced in those 100 hours a week might actually be in question. Cemented in the law, you have God saying this one day is not for normal labor. All your work should be done in the other 6 days. And yes, the legalist, what the Pharisees are being in the gospel reading, can keep that law simply by not moving. Now, the law itself is good and wise, even if it's not sufficient for salvation. God saying, don't do the normal work on this one day, creates space for something else. And God creates space in that law, not just for aristocrats or rich people or clerics, but for the sojourner within your gates, or your ox and your animal. For someone who might not share your religion. But just checking that box that you took a day off work is not really what the Sabbath is about. Luther's answer gets at the gospel purpose that we might hear the word of God. That we might draw near to God. The legalist answer, you can't do that on the Sabbath, puts the Sabbath before man. The disciples are grabbing some grain to eat as they follow Jesus on his healing and teaching ministry. And they are technically breaking the Sabbath. But they are doing so for its deeper gospel meaning. That Jesus might show up in the synagogue and preach and heal. That all of Israel might hear the word of God. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The legal fencing of get your work done in 6 days was to create that chance to hear the word. Now, let me pivot to a couple things. Because I realize that up until now, this might seem like an argument for those blue laws. And sure, I'd love to see something like that, but I'm also not an idiot. Those aren't coming back. Jesus also says that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. In the absence of civil legal protection of a Sabbath, that first use of the law, a curb to prevent you from doing stupid things, but in the absence of that, because our Caesars have declared that they don't care about the cares of this life taking over all of the hours of the week, but what Jesus reminds us is that a Sabbath, a drawing near to the Lord and a hearing His word, is not limited legally to just one day. It's located and protected in the promises of Jesus. Because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the true Sabbath is drawing near and hearing Jesus. And He promises that drawing near happens in a multitude of ways. Wherever two or three are gathered, one does not need even the old Jewish minion of 10 Jewish adult men to draw near. Wherever two or three are gathered in His name, Jesus promises to be present. He promises that the Father hears the prayers of the man shut in his prayer closet. There's another Sabbath. Even if you don't have the words, the Spirit shall grant them. He promises to be there in the least of these, in the works of mercy done in His name. Another Sabbath opportunity. As the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus has a light yoke. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Grab that word and it's a Sabbath. The law or the lack of it cannot hinder the presence of the Sabbath in the promises of Jesus. The only thing that can hinder the presence of the Sabbath is our refusal to keep one. When we despise preaching and the Word, when we run away instead of drawing near to the Lord. And if you ask Mark Brown, and you're free to disagree here, I'm drawing a conclusion from personal observation. This is the core of the spiritual sickness across our land. We don't want to hear that word. We'd be fine with the gospel, but we don't want the Lord. We'd be fine with the Sabbath, but we don't want the Lord of the Sabbath. Those Pharisees had not rightly divided law and gospel. They had missed the time of their visitation, that the Lord of the Sabbath was present, and that meant that the healing of the gospel takes precedence. But those Pharisees would have never imagined using the gospel. The Sabbath was made for man. To argue against the minimal protections of the law, to eliminate the law's teaching force. That one day a week you should be about something other than the cares of this flesh. Basically, they would never have thought about giving my dad's answer. Because the gospel fulfills the law. It doesn't cancel it. We collectively as a people seem to despise preaching in the word because we do not want this Lord. We want the Jesus of our own making, not the Jesus of the cross. We want the treasure, but we don't want to be reminded that we carry it in jars of clay. And because we despise the word, because we despise the Lord who is, collectively we get nothing. Nothing but work. The work of the devil, the work of the world, and the work of our own flesh. Work that expands to fill every hour of the week. The work that never allows us rest. That is a heavy yoke. The Old Testament chronicler once surmised that Israel's 70 years in exile were 1 year for every missed Sabbath year. I might surmise that the church's seeming exile in our land stems from something similar. When the church is ready to keep a Sabbath, to hold the word sacred, and gladly hear and learn it, whatever day or hour that might be on, when the church is ready for repentance and to draw near to the Lord, the absolution will not be withheld. And that spiritual sickness that haunts us, that exile, will end. Amen.